My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Final hour of a week. Happy Friday to everyone out there. You're driving home after your week of work. Get home safe. Hope you have a good weekend. It's Dibs and Grandy here on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Mark Willard will be back on Monday reacting after a big weekend of Giants baseball. Who knows? At the end of this weekend, we might be ready to wave the white flag on the Giants season. If things go terrible in Cincinnati, if things go great, maybe we're all back on the bandwagon. We'll find out. And Mark Willard will be back on Monday to break it all down. A gutsy win, Dibs, for Team Canada in basketball over Spain.
It's not over. What are you doing to me?
Oh, you knew the result.
I didn't know the result. I've been locked in on this game. It happened hours ago. We're watching it on USA.
You're joking.
No, I'm serious. I'm not that locked in, but I didn't know the result.
Oh.
Canada up one with 3.1 to go. And,
spoiler alert.
Go ahead and turn it off. I don't even know who has the ball, but, you know, doing radio, we got three TVs around. And then if there's not something that's really compelling to watch, it's just on. And, you know, you might glance up if Willard is doing one of his 3-minute bits. I might glance up and see what's going on. But this is a game that I kind of was watching.
Well, it's kind of funny because you Never came mind. To the defense of Evan Giddings yesterday.
I did.
Who spoiled what happened in gymnastics in the all-around event yesterday. You came to his defense, and now I spoiled something for you. So give you a taste of your own medicine.
Totally.
There, Dibs.
Canada's got the ball anyway, so Spain's got
up
a foul.
One
so
with 3 seconds. This game's over. Shea will
Barrett.
Make them both. I think that's Shea, right? Yeah, that's Shea. But on the other team,
Canadian?
Yeah.
I didn't know. Like,
Canada has a squad. They have Jamal Murray coming off the bench.
Part of the fun of watching the Olympics, especially in basketball, it's like, oh my God, that guy's Slovenian?
Exactly.
Especially with, Canadians, because I'm not that locked in. I know that Andrew Wiggins is Canadian, but
the Warriors said, no, no, no.
It's funny because I don't even know if he would have made this team, because that Canada team is good.
Jamal Murray coming off the bench.
Right.
Kind of a decision. Whoever the Canadian head coach is deciding to start Lou Dort, defensive stalwart for the Thunder, and Dylan Brooks, and not a fan of, doesn't have a fan around here, but a very good defender in the NBA. And I think the international game, the FIBA game, the Olympic game is kind of fits what Dylan Brooks does as a basketball player. They're starting those two guys over Jamal Murray. So Jamal Murray coming off the bench for Team Canada.
And if we can just stay in Olympic basketball for just a moment and talk about Steve Kerr, I do think it's interesting and partly hilarious the criticism that he's receiving in some corners about, you know, Jason Tatum didn't play the first game, right? And everybody was just appalled. And Steve Kerr, what are you doing? Imbecile and this and that.
He just won the finals and signed the richest contract in NBA history.
Steve Kerr's job is not easy. And I think that he's done a good job early on of shuffling the starting lineup. And Kevin Durant said as much. Like, you know, Steve Kerr is kind of picking and popping. He's matching their team up with who the opponent is. So it's not as easy as, you know, play the five best guys and play them a lot. You got to balance egos, and you also have to balance skill sets in a very short tournament such as this one.
Yeah, and I think we got a piece of sound here. I'm putting it on my board. Stephen A. Smith on ESPN, and this is, I think, probably maybe the number one person that you're talking about here who ripped Steve Kerr for what he did to Jason Tatum. Let's just take a listen. It's Stephen A. doing Stephen A. things, yep, ripping Warriors and Team USA head coach Steve Kerr.
The Boston Celtics are the reigning defending champion. Who's the number one option? Jason Tatum. Who defers to Jason Tatum? Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, Derek White. Two players from the Boston Celtics that defer to him 8 months out of the year. He playing behind. That don't make no damn sense. Steve Kerr.
Why do you think he made that move?
Because Steve Kerr is looking at his patterns, his substitution, and they know this better than me. Uh-huh. You get addicted to what you orchestrate. Well, we got this starting five, and then after that, we got this five coming off the bench. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about Team USA. They're not a team. They're a collection of individuals who are great, and as a result, they have the talent to overcome it. And you're telling me with a straight face, Steve Kerr, that I got 10 dudes in the world that I'm going to put on the court before Jason Tatum. And it ain't the game situation and what evolved and what developed. He told him before the game, well, you might not play.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have. Tatum
said it was a humbling experience.
I would not have advertised. I'm not supporting Jason Tatum doing this, but I would not have blamed him if that brother decided to take a flight back to the States. I'm serious. You can't embarrass him like that.
Oh, my God.
Take a flight back to the U.S.
That's it.
Because you didn't play in one measly group stage Olympic basketball game.
And then the very
against
game,
who was even the opponent that day?
That was not South Sudan.
Yeah, it was the game before South Sudan.
It was the opener. And I think it was the Joker's team. Was that Slovakia?
Serbia,
I'm sorry. It was Serbia. And the very next game, Jason Tatum was in the starting lineup. Yeah. And I'm sure Stephen A. is thinking it's because of me and all that pressure I put on Steve Kerr. His bit is great. Stephen A. is fantastic at what he does. But I look at Steve Kerr's job, and I was saying during the crossover, of the 12 guys on the team, how many of them are Hall of Famers? And you could easily look at it and say, well, probably 10. I mean, are trending toward it.
Yeah.
Bam Adebayo, not sure. Anthony Edwards, long way to go to get there. Tyrese Halliburton, maybe if he continues this up for a long time. Derek White, probably not. But everyone else, Booker, Curry, AD, KD, Embiid. Drew Holiday's, I guess, a maybe, but I think that he is, the career he's at. And then LeBron James. So what are you doing here when you've got 12 really good players and you only want to play 10? A couple of these guys are going to have to sit.
Yeah, and the other thing is, if you dive into like what Steve Kerr is doing before every single game, you dive into the matchups and what's going to work for an individual game, guess what, Jason Tatum? I'm sorry, you're not playing over LeBron James, and you're not playing over Kevin Durant. And guess what? They're not going small. They need either Anthony Davis or Joel Embiid, although Embiid's been bad. So generally, you need Anthony Davis, because in that game against Serbia, you're going up against Nikola Jokic.
And Bam Adebayo as well.
Yeah, Bam as well. You need a legit five in there to defend Nikola Jokic. And you're going to need shooting. So again, you're playing Durant over Tatum. LeBron is the captain. I mean, that might be maybe the most one that maybe you're most upset about, even if you are upset about anything, LeBron's still amazing. But no matter what, LeBron is playing, even if he's playing poorly. Like, that could be one that potentially, if LeBron struggles, you could get upset by, because LeBron is going to play. He's LeBron freaking James. But I think Steve Kerr, the funniest thing is there's like all these conspiracy theorists. Well, first Steve Kerr doesn't pick Jaylen Brown. He picks his teammate, Derek White. And now he's not even playing Jason Tatum. Steve Kerr is trying to get inside the Celtics locker room and kill them from the inside.
Right.
It's Steve Kerr. He's figuring it out. He's using dirty tactics to take down the defending champions. No, he's just making a basketball decision, what he thinks is going to help his team win. And guess what? They've won both of their games so far.
And pretty comfortably, too. And you know, by double digits in each game. And so, and Jason Tatum starts the second game, and who knows what's going to happen in the third game. One more game of pool play, I believe, and they've already qualified for the quarterfinals. So they're going to be moving on to the knockout stage anyway. And so, yeah, he's just trying to figure out combinations and lineups. And I just think it's hilarious when you look at reactions like Stephen A. Smith, and we're so appalled, and, you know, people who
get
think
on a flight.
Right, and we don't even know, you know, if they're going to face the Celtics next year in the NBA Finals. That's now 10 months away, if they can even make it back to that level. So Steve Kerr is trying to plant a seed 10 months out. It just is ridiculous to me.
He's just trying to win basketball games. And then the change, the next game, maybe that Stephen A. Smith is taking credit for, potentially, or all the other haters that were hating on Steve Kerr for this, and you and I were in lockstep during the crossover. What's bugging us was the haters that were trying to downplay all this incredible athletic achievement for these historic Olympians. Steve Kerr, I guess, not technically an Olympian. Those are the athletes. Oddly, he won't get a gold medal if Team USA wins gold, but he's the Olympic Team USA head coach.
The coach doesn't get a gold medal?
I think we talked about that with Steve Kerr when he was named Team USA head coach.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure. Maybe okay. I'm mistaken, but I'll check on that in a second. But the change that was made for South Sudan after they had lost, if you recall, to South Sudan in their USA basketball showcase before the Olympics, they realized South Sudan, very long, quick, athletic. So what's the change for Team USA? Okay, maybe that's where you don't need your center. You don't need Joel Embiid. That's when you go a little bit smaller and you need the athleticism, the length, the quickness. That's when Jason Tatum is needed more. And surprise, surprise, that's when Tatum started and played, and he played well to his credit. But Steve Kerr is just playing the opponent in front of him. That's all you can do.
Yeah, and we talked about pressure before as it pertains to the 49ers this year coming in as favorites. One of the favored teams or favored in every single game they're going to play this year. The amount of pressure on Team USA as they now advanced into the quarterfinals, and you know, you've got basically one more game of group play. It doesn't matter as much as the bracket play. You got to win three straight to win a gold medal that everybody expects you to win. They were minus 500. You had to lay 500 to win 100 on Team USA to win the gold medal in basketball. So that to me is the real pressure that sits for Team USA.
Yeah, I mean, like, we can defend Steve Kerr here for all of these, like, decisions and starting lineups and what rotation is he using and all of that. We can also, if we're going to play devil's advocate for a second, Dibs, we can also say, well, to be fair, no matter what your starting lineup is, as you laid out, you have Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers all over the place. No matter who you're starting, you should be able to beat South Sudan and Serbia. I know with Serbia, you got Jokic and a couple of other NBAers, but like, your Team USA, full of the best players in the world. Steve Kerr, pick five names out of a hat. That starting five might be good enough to win you any game in this tournament anyway.
Should be, but then again, you know, you get 40 minutes and it's international rules, so things are a little bit different. You got Puerto Rico tomorrow, and that game is at 8:15. I believe 8:15 our time, so chance to wrap up Group C, and then from there you move on to the quarterfinals. And no matter who you play, and you were touting Canada, and you're right, they're 3-0, and Germany's 3-0. So there's still some good teams out there. France looks pretty good. Australia's got a lot of current and former NBA players. So when you get in the knockout stage, one bad quarter or one bad half, it can knock you out. You do have to be sharp.
Yeah. And by the way, I have confirmed, my memory was correct, coaches do not get Olympic medals, even if the team they're coaching medals.
Okay.
So Coach Krzyzewski, Coach K, had not doesn't have a gold medal. And if the Team USA wins it in Paris this year, Coach Kerr will not get a gold medal. Just the athletes themselves.
That makes sense. If you like take that to gymnastics, Simone Biles' coach doesn't get a gold medal for the U.S. winning the overall. And if you're the coach of a diver or a fencer or a wrestler or a boxer, you don't get a gold medal, so why would a coach in a team sport get one? It makes sense.
It does feel a little bit different for team sport coaches, though. Maybe it's just, I don't know, the way that us here in the States think about it, or the way our sports are, I don't know, organized as opposed to elsewhere, but...
Well, also, we know who that is. Like, if I asked you who the men's soccer coach is for the Olympic team, which got embarrassed and knocked out by Morocco.
Yeah, 4-0.
4-0?
I turned it off and it was 3-0.
Right. I mean, I don't even know who the head coach is.
I don't know either.
Right. And so it's apropos of nothing other than to say I can understand why coaches in the Olympics don't get medals.
Yeah. Yeah. So one end is Stephen A. Smith absolutely ripping into Steve Kerr, and congrats, Stephen A. You got Jason Tatum in the starting lineup for the next game. We'll see what happens tomorrow when Team USA plays their third game in group play in the Olympics. But on the other end of the spectrum, Dibs, you have someone like Brian Windhorst, also of ESPN, who wasn't upset at Steve Kerr. In fact, he was praising Steve Kerr. Here's Windy talking Steve Kerr at the Olympics.
Steve Kerr came out after the game last night, Greeny, and basically put out a sermon and said, this is not the NBA. This is not the soap opera. This is not drama. What we have here is a chance to win a gold medal over the course of 2.5 weeks. There's only a chance of 6 possible games, and he's going to change his lineup, whoever fits the best in those each individual games. He's not going to care if a player gets upset or if a player isn't thrilled, because he doesn't have to worry about the player asking for a trade or getting re-signed or going to his agent. They are going to put out lineups that can win. And against the South Sudan, who plays a very athletic, spread-the-floor, speed game without much size, Joel Embiid didn't make sense. Jason Tatum made more sense in a wing-heavy lineup. He's going to continue to do this. In fact, he announced Jason Tatum will be back out of the starting lineup, and Joel Embiid will be back in on Saturday when they play Puerto Rico in their final pool play game. He's just not focused on what the rest of the world is focused on. He said none of the social media reaction to the way they play matters. The only thing that matters is that they get victories. And I'm going to tell you right now, Steve Kerr is dropping aces. All of his game plans have been working. His lineup changes have worked. Even Derek White, the player who was criticized for replacing Kawhi Leonard instead of Jaylen Brown, he's played 2 brilliant games. He's plus 33. Greeny, Steve Kerr's on a hot streak right now. If you're criticizing him, you're in a bad spot.
Oh, if you're criticizing him, you're in a bad spot. You better,
Stephen A.
You better look out, Stephen A.
You better be careful.
You better be careful.
And I love it. He dropped it in at the end. He's a plus 33, plus minus. And I love plus minus when it serves my point.
Yeah.
And I use it all the time during the NBA season. I weaponize plus minus. If I want to talk about how bad Andrew Wiggins was, and I see he's a minus 17, I mention it. Or if you want to talk about a player like Moses Moody, he needs to play more. He was a plus 9 in 12 minutes.
But then someone uses it against you, and you're like, well, plus minus.
It doesn't matter. Totally. Plus minus is definitely one of those stats where you use it when you need it, and when someone else uses it in an argument, it's like, one game.
Please.
It doesn't matter.
Please. I love the line, Brian Windhorst defending Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr is dropping aces.
Totally.
And he's on a roll right now.
No doubt.
And yeah, beating South Sudan. Congratulations.
Well, you can only be 2-0 after 2 games. You can't be any better than 2-0. And I do know that they have a great plus minus point differential is actually a thing in terms of seeding if there's a tiebreaker. So USA should beat Puerto Rico. They should win the group. And then they go on and we'll see who they face in the knockout stages.
Ooh, the knockout stage when it gets real.
Yeah.
Do or die.
One
single elimination tournament.
You lose into quarters and you can't even sniff a medal. Yeah. You got to get to the semis to at least get into that bronze medal game. If you lose, which last time out in the FIBA World Cup, the USA got into the medal round and lost both games and got no medal.
Yeah.
They took 4th. So
pressure's on, Steve Kerr.
Big time.
Get it done,
pressure.
Steve. Yep. Bring the gold back home, although the only gold coming back home to the Bay Area, if it happens, would be Steph Curry's gold.
The chef.
And that's it.
Yep.
Who, by the way, kind of hasn't had a great Olympics so far.
Good second game against South Sudan.
Hasn't been shooting the ball very well.
Right. He's used to chipping and putting this time of year. Yeah. Body clock's a little off.
Not used to playing basketball in the month of August. Speaking of American basketball players, on one of the TVs in here, Dibs, we have men's beach volleyball going on, and one of the stars of the American duo, Chase Buttinger, former NBA player. How about that?
Arizona, I believe. I
think so, yeah.
Is that where he went collegiately and... You know,
played on the T-Wolves, maybe the Rockets.
Yeah, not a very glimmering NBA career, but I do know that he was a high school and I think a college volleyball player at Arizona and then ultimately found his way to the NBA. Basketball and volleyball have a lot of crossover.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, that not to toot my own horn, toot, toot, but when I had my dynasty at Archie Williams knee Drake High School up in Marin in the early aughts, I took over the team. And I had a senior named Shannon Levinson, diehard listener. What's up, Shannon? He told his brother, who was a freshman basketball player, and all his freshman basketball teammates, you all are playing volleyball or else. And so my program got jump-started by basketball players. And then the next year, I got another group of freshman basketball players. They fell in love with the game. And it turns out athletes who can jump are good at volleyball.
Yeah.
So my dynasty was born on the back of athletes like Chase Buttinger.
If you're tall, you can jump, you're agile.
Coordinated.
Exactly. Good basketball player. Sounds like you'd be a good volleyball player.
Volleyball is a pretty easy game to learn. There are only, I think, 8 different skills from the pass, the block, the set, the spike, dig and simple foot movements. It's not a very complex game to learn if you're a good athlete.
Yeah, I don't know the result of this one. It's obviously not live right now. It's the first set. Spain's ahead, but I don't know how this match ends. You could spoil it for me if you want.
Yeah.
But you don't have to.
Well, I do know that Chase and his partner, they lost their first match, so and I don't think that this is that. So they've been struggling a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see if they can get it done. Yeah, they're 1-1 entering the day in Pool F. We'll see if they can get to 2-1. But we were talking earlier, the previous segment, about Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy, and Shanahan trying to pass off his chase of Tom Brady a year ago as a compliment to Brock Purdy. And I know you buy it. I'm not so sure I do. What does Brock Purdy think? Brock Purdy was on the TK show with Tim Kawakami earlier this week, and he asked Brock Purdy, what do you think about Kyle Shanahan saying him trying to acquire Tom Brady last season? That's a compliment to you, Brock. What do you think?
You know, he was saying, you know, we'd bring him in and you could heal up and then learn from, you know, the best of all time and then be the guy to come in after. So I get the compliment of it, but at the same time, it's like, man, I'm ready to play right now and help this team win right now. So there's two sides of it for sure.
I get the compliment.
Yeah.
But...
Well, yeah, of course. And you're coming off a year where you got the job and you led your team into the playoffs, into the NFC Championship game, and you played amazing. You didn't lose until your arm fell off. And so you think, all right, this is my job now. And you're heading into surgery, which is a bummer. But you know that the surgery, if it goes right, you'll be back throwing in 3 to 4 months. Plenty of time to get ready for camp. And then the coach calls you with that bit of news. Yeah, I'm sure your immediate thought was not, oh, what a compliment. Coach, yeah, thanks for really building me up by telling me you're looking to replace me with the GOAT.
There's more Brock Purdy continuing to discuss the Niners' pursuit of Tom Brady. This is on the TK show with Tim Kawakami.
How I took it was, you know, I understand. I was hurt, and there wasn't really a certainty as to when exactly I'd be back. Would I be back for the season? Would it be midway through the season? Like, who knows at that time? And so I totally understood, like, the fact of Kyle and the team needed a quarterback for next season. And so when he said Tom Brady, I'm like, all right, you know, that's cool for your sake as, you know, as a head coach and for a team to bring in, you know, the best of all time. But yeah, a little bit of me was like, all right, well, I just proven that I beat this guy, you know, this past year and that I'm good enough to, you know, take our team to, you know, at the time it was an NFC championship. And so, there was a little bit to me where I was like, you know, I can obviously be the guy for this organization. So like, why not? But given the circumstances of me being hurt and, like having some certainty at quarterback, I understand why, he, you know, was willing to have that as a thought.
I like that from Brock. I mean, you could tell he was a little peeved a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, he said, all right, you know, that's cool for your sake. I just beat this guy, is what he said. I just beat Tom Brady that season. My first start as a professional, I beat the GOAT. I beat Tom Brady, and I thoroughly outplayed him. It was my first career start. I'm the guy now, Kyle. You're going out trying to get someone else? I want my quarterback. I want my potential franchise guy to be upset by that.
Sounded
like Brock was a little pissed.
Yes, and he should be pissed. But at the same time, when you're Kyle, you're looking at a quarterback who is hurt, and he's going to need surgery. And you don't know how the surgery is going to go. And when he had that elbow injury on his throwing elbow, it's no guarantee that you're going to come back 100% and be ready to go for camp. So if you're Kyle, you got to do everything you can to make sure you have insurance. And your first insurance policy quest was going to be the GOAT, Tom Brady, a guy you've always wanted to bring in. And I think that it's great that Kyle has the self-confidence and he has the, I guess, sort of the morals to go to Brock and tell him that straight up to his face, as opposed to, you know, rumors, the nastiness and all that, the whispers. And then Brock Purdy's got to wonder if this is true. Kyle straight up told him, yeah, we're trying to get Tom Brady and you're still the guy. But if we can get Tom Brady, you'll be the guy after a year. You go ahead and get healthy and you heal up. And, you know, if something happens to Tom, then we're going to go back to you. But I'm going after Tom.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, if you're going to do this at all, you got to be upfront about it, because otherwise you're going to create some problems down the line, even if it doesn't happen. But you kind of like Shanahan goes out and gives Tom Brady a call and tries to get him here, ends up not happening. But Purdy later finds out or hears from somebody else that it was going down or that Shanahan wanted it to go down. I could imagine that might get a little difficult for Purdy to deal with. The other thing that's interesting is I think it was Shanahan said on the TK show that he made the call. Or maybe he didn't make the call to Tom, but he told Brock he was going to try to get Tom Brady like a week after the season ended. A week, fresh off of the NFC Championship game loss. This would be before the Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl even happened. At that point, Kyle Shanahan is already thinking so far ahead, like, all right, Brock, you just tore your UCL. You're not even close to being able to have surgery yet. We're 7 days removed from that fateful day in Philly at the Link. I'm calling Tom, just so you know. Get well. We'll talk to you when OTAs come around, Brock.
Yeah.
Like a week after they lost.
It's a tough conversation, yeah. But you got to turn the page, and that's what you got to do if you're the leader and you're the head coach. And I just think that it's admirable that he did it up front and to his face. And how many tough conversations do we have in our life where you don't actually have it, and maybe you do something behind somebody's back, and you hope they don't find out what happens, and you make a decision, and you never actually tell them face to face what you're doing. It's hard to do that sometimes, to confront somebody with bad news and tell them a decision that you're going to make and try to explain it, knowing full well that that person's going to be pissed off. It's not easy to do. I admire Kyle for doing it.
Trying to think of the other franchises in the NFL who maybe wouldn't have the decency to handle the situation that way. First of all, there's probably not a lot of organizations who would think they have a legitimate shot to go and just approach Tom Brady after he retired and be like, hey, you want to come? You want to come play for us? And I mean, off the cusp, like Washington, they wouldn't handle it that way. They wouldn't. Right. Maybe, who knows how the new Washington regime is going to play out, but last year's Washington regime, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, definitely wouldn't have been willing probably to approach their current quarterback and say, hey, sit tight. We're going to try to get Tom Brady. They would have just went behind closed doors, I would imagine. A couple of other poor-run franchises. I don't know how, say, Jerry Jones and the Cowboys would handle things. They seem to maybe be willing to do a little bit more things behind closed doors.
I do think about Kyle when they were going to trade up to draft Trey Lance, and the story is that they called Jimmy Garoppolo and told him what their plan was. Mm. And that's another one where, you know, you did the right thing. You did the classy thing by letting the player know what your plan is. And that's an even tougher one because you're drafting a guy to replace Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe not immediately, but yeah. And so you call Jimmy and you say, hey, just so you know, we're taking two first round picks or three first round picks to move up to get a first round pick to take a quarterback. And we want him to be your replacement. Maybe not week one, maybe not week six, but this guy's coming for you. We're drafting your replacement. Have a good afternoon. And I'm sure it was a voicemail message because Jimmy doesn't answer the phone famously, but they at least made that call, right?
Yeah.
And that's classy.
Yeah, and there's like this instance, Shanahan trying to chase Brady, as you heard him, we played it earlier in the show, trying to sell it off as a compliment. And, you know, he does a pretty good job of selling it. There's no way you can sell to Jimmy Garoppolo them trading all those picks to draft a quarterback as a compliment.
Exactly.
No chance you can sell that as a compliment. You hear that if you're Jimmy Garoppolo from Kyle Shanahan, you immediately know, well, they don't think I'm good enough, and they don't want me to be their quarterback anymore because they don't think that I can lead them to a Super Bowl.
And it's a big difference in drafting a guy, first-round pick, 4 years with a fifth-year option, as opposed to, yeah, we're going to bring in Tom Brady for 1 year. Yeah. And after that, Brock, you're the man. We believe in you, Brock. But, you know, if we can get Tom, heck, I mean, even you could see we've got to go after Tom for a year. 5 years of Trey Lance is different than Tom Brady as a one-off.
Yeah. And the other instance, of course, the other characteristic here is that Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't coming off of a major injury that might keep him out. Certainly going to keep him from having a normal offseason. Brock Purdy was dealing with a torn UCL, and there was the concern of whether or not he was ever going to even be back for that coming season. So it makes sense. It is interesting how it all played out, though, because Tom Brady wanted to be here in 2020, didn't work out. He goes to win a Super Bowl. And then the way that the story works, remember he appeared on that podcast and he was talking about how there was this one team he wanted to go to that offseason. And he was kind of talking trash to the organization that didn't want him. And at that time, we didn't know exactly who he was talking about. And he said, you're going to stick with that guy over me? And now we know he was talking about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Exactly. And you know,
his former teammate, his former backup.
And that's why the comment was so pointed because, you know, Tom Brady, I'm sure, was thinking when Jimmy Garoppolo got traded to the Niners in the first place, and the report was the Niners wanted Brady, and the Patriots said, you know, hit the pike, no way, that, you know, at that point, Tom Brady's thinking, yeah, of course they would rather have me than Garoppolo. And then Garoppolo goes to the Super Bowl, Brady wins one, and now you want to have me replace Garoppolo? No thanks. And this guy again? You know, I wonder what the backstory of that relationship really is.
I don't know. It's interesting because there's the moment where Jimmy Garoppolo came in for Brady, that one spot start, and played really well. I think it was a Monday night game in Arizona, if I remember correctly, and Jimmy Garoppolo played well. That's probably where his stock and the Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know, aura really began. It's part of the reason why I'm sure the Niners were willing to make that trade, and it seemed like it was a great move, and he brought the organization up quite a ways, but could not get them over the top. That is an interesting relationship, Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo. To bring it back to current day, Kyle Shanahan did speak with the media today, had a couple of updates, not worried about Brock Purdy's interceptions. This is the time for him to experiment and to work out some kinks and to see what his limits are and all of that. That was Kyle Shanahan today. But he also said, Dibs, he was asked about him and John Lynch's hug, dap, high five, handshake with Brandon Ayuk, which took the internet by storm the other day. And this was Kyle Shanahan's first time addressing the media after that blew up on social media. Kyle Shanahan asked about that down in Santa Clara earlier today. Here's what the Niners head coach had to say.
Had a very enthusiastic hug with Brandon Ayuk yesterday, and it got national media attention because it signaled something. What did that signal?
This is usually how we greet each other, honestly. You guys would see maybe a lot more hugs if in here if we had a film for you guys, but we're not on Hard Knocks, so it's the only one on the field. You haven't been on the field a lot, and we walk by each other, and it's usually how we greet each other. Bro hug. Nothing more, nothing less.
Where things stand with that? I mean, is it still stalemate? Any progress?
Yeah, no updates. Same with Trent.
That upsets you, doesn't it?
It does, and I like the question, which is, you seem to have a very enthusiastic hug with Brandon Ayuk, and it was more enthusiastic than the handshake with John Lynch, but just the nature of what we do, and everything now is recorded for the most part. And once it's recorded, it's put on the internet, and then it's picked up, it's aggregated, it's talked about, and then we all leap to conclusions. And we had Larry Kruger saying, well, what I thought was it was a goodbye because he'd been traded. And what I said was I thought it was the kind of bro hug that said, dude, welcome. Glad that this contract is behind us. And the truth is it was neither. It was just two guys who probably hadn't seen each other that day, or maybe in a day or two, seeing each other and sharing a warm embrace. Nothing more, nothing less. Yeah. And I take Kyle at his word, because if it was, hey, good job, I'm glad the contract's done, then we'd already know about it, because that was now about 32 hours ago.
Yeah, I suppose there could be, like, throughout the course of negotiations, there are probably, like, breakthrough days, like positive days, or maybe you take a big step forward, but it's still not done. And I suppose maybe that's what it could have been. And if it's not done yet, Kyle isn't going to say anything. I think even if we just take Kyle at his word and we believe that it means nothing, they were just saying hi to each other, hadn't seen each other yet that day. Maybe they didn't see each other the day before. Even if that was the case, Dibs, the fact that Aiyuk is at training camp holding in, obviously part of that is so he doesn't get fined, but the fact that he's there is a positive sign. The fact that he's on the field on a semi-regular basis, Carter, I know you've been down at training camp a decent amount, specifically last week, and Aiyuk's been down there on the practice field, not practicing, but he's been there, and he's been walking with John Lynch. He's been seen walking off the practice field, maybe heading over to John Lynch's office somewhere to talk. Maybe they get his agent on the phone, or his agent is in the area too, who knows. The fact that he's even willing to be there and to go up to John Lynch and give him a handshake, to give, you know, to dap up Kyle Shanahan, and Shanahan bats him on the back a couple of times.
Enthusiastic.
Very enthusiastic. Exactly. Even, Dibs, if it is just what Shanahan is saying, nothing to see here, at the very least, the fact that all these things are happening suggests that the negotiation hasn't gone so poorly that Shanahan, specifically more Aiyuk, is so turned off by the whole thing that doesn't want to be here anymore. The fact that all these things are happening at least shows that Aiyuk is semi-interested in still trying to work through this and get it done.
It's a great point, because I didn't see Trent Williams with an enthusiastic bro hug of John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan. In fact, I haven't seen him at all. And he's holding out. And so I would imagine that, you know, his feelings are a little bit harder than Brandon Aiyuk. And I know it's a different situation because Trent's got much more leverage and he can play a little bit more hardball. And Brandon Aiyuk doesn't want to give up $50,000 a day and hold out. So he holds in and he isn't out there practicing. But it does feel like the very presence of Brandon Aiyuk makes the negotiation feel a little bit friendlier than what Trent Williams is going through. And honestly, with Trent, I'm not worried at all about him not being there. I would say 3 more weeks until I'd start to get worried. Mm. And, you know, if we get to August 23rd, which would be 3 weeks from today, which would be that would be 17 days away from the first game, because they play on the Monday night. At that point, I would want to have Trent Williams in, but I'm sure he's working out and he's getting his body ready, and he wouldn't be fully participating in practice anyway, and he wouldn't play in any of these preseason games. So I'm less worried about Trent than I am Brandon Aiyuk actually getting this thing done and getting into camp. Mm.
For me, I think it's 2 weeks from 2 weeks from yesterday, 2 weeks from 2 days ago. So 12, 13 days from now is when I get concerned about both of them. I do get concerned by Aiyuk not practicing more, because I think he needs longer to get up to speed than Trent does, but also saying that I think Trent is more valuable to the offense. But it's that second preseason game, Niners Saints, because leading up to that preseason game, you have the intra-squad scrimmages where you're facing off against each other all week leading up into that game. And Kyle Shanahan has said a number of times, those practices are the most important practices of the entire preseason and training camp. So if Trent Williams and or Brandon Aiyuk are missing those, that's when I think I start to get relatively concerned. This might be something not necessarily that keeps them out of regular season games, but could perhaps impact the level with which they play if they are indeed available week one, week two, week three.
And that Saints game that you're talking about is 2 weeks from Sunday, so the joint practices would be 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
I think they'd do a Thursday and a Friday and then gear up for a game on Sunday. I don't know the exact schedule. I don't have it in front of me, but basically 2 weeks from now and they go to Tennessee to take on the Titans a week from tomorrow. Safe to say that Ayuk and Trent won't play in that game. I'm not sure how much even Debo and George and Brock and Christian McCaffrey, if they play, it's probably one series. If that, you're going to see a lot of the twos and the threes in that game. A lot of Josh Dobbs, maybe a touch of Tanner Mordecai if he's able to get on the field. And Brandon Allen will get a bunch of snaps, but I don't know what you need to see from your first-teamers at all. Maybe in the Saints game, the second game, coming off of joint practices, you give them a quarter or maybe a little bit more, and then you shut it down for the game 5 days later.
Yeah. Yeah, you got the Titans now, what, 8 days from now?
Yeah,
first preseason game, 8 days from now. It's next Saturday, not Sunday. Saturday, August 10th is the first preseason game. Niners in Nashville against the Titans. Then you got the Saints at home. That's on the 18th, so that's the following Sunday. And then you got the Raiders to close out the preseason slate. That one's on a Friday, August 23rd, to close out the preseason slate, so you have a little bit longer to get ready for the beginning of the regular season. But that's it. Yeah. Only three preseason games now in the NFL.
Exciting. And coming up on the other side, not to steal the tease from you, but we do have a little bit of Trent Williams, not really news, but we have... We have the results of the NFL top 10.
Oh, yeah. So, who finished higher, Trent or CMC?
That's coming
up. We'll find out. Okay, on the other side, yeah.
Where will we find out?
Right here on 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. A little more than 10 minutes until the weekend here on 95.7 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen.
We'll have to make sure Carter hits the right button back there.
Yay!
I haven't been doing it very well. Carter's got it. Give us a thumbs up. All right, mess it up.
Yeah,
don't mess it
up. A lot of pressure.
I could do it from in here, too, but I'll let you do it, Carter.
We trust him.
Yeah, we do. Willard will be back on Monday here on 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Grandy filling in for Mark Willard alongside Dan Dibley here on 95.7 The Game. We were talking a lot yesterday, Dibs. Maybe that was Wednesday. My days are going together. I can't remember. Talking a lot about the NFL top 100 list voted on by the players. And we teased, whenever that day was, that the top 10 was going to come out today. And it is slowly trickling out. We knew there were two Niner players in the top 10 just by process of elimination. If they were not in the top 10, we would have rioted because that would have been unacceptable. Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams. Before we reveal what we know about this list, Dibs, who you think should be ranked higher, Trent Williams or Christian McCaffrey?
Tough to say. Easy to put your chip in the spot of Christian McCaffrey because he's the fantasy guy and everybody's first running back off the board. But I'd say Trent Williams deserves to be higher. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he is the best left tackle in football, and blocking's really important. So I would bet, well, I would think that Trent Williams deserved to be higher than Christian McCaffrey.
Okay. So let's just run down the list then. Why don't we? So number 10.
Okay.
Max Crosby from the Raiders.
All right.
That sounds about right. Top 10 is awesome for him, but
there's a lot
of really good players that are left here. Number 9, Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
Best tight end in the league. Just won another Super Bowl. That seems fair. Number 8 is TJ Watt.
There you go.
Okay. Steelers pass rusher extraordinaire.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, former DPOY, not this past year, but I think the year prior, is awesome. Number 7, the first Niner on the list. Your prediction, McCaffrey?
Yes.
Trent Williams
at number 7.
Trent Williams at number 7. Followed by Chris Jones, another Kansas City Chief, number 6.
Three Chiefs in the top 10.
Yeah, and that was the second of them. That means there's another one in the top 5. Number 5. Miles Garrett of the Browns.
Yep.
It's another pass rusher.
And was he DPOY last year? I thought he was.
Was he last year? Let's look. Miles Garrett.
Yeah, Miles Garrett.
Here we go.
Look at me. TJ Watt and Max Crosby also up there, along with Micah Parsons.
And they're all in the top 10. Micah was in the top 20, but not quite in the top 10. So Miles Garrett, number 5. It goes Crosby, 10. Kelce, 9. TJ Watt, 8. Trent Williams, 7. Chris Jones, 6. Miles Garrett, 5. This is where it gets interesting, Dibs. Number 4 is the guy I think we probably were all expecting to be number 1. Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes at 4.
Number 4.
Wow, okay.
How about that?
That's a surprise, you know? That's a little bit of maybe backlash at, all the success he's had. Players trying to hate on Patty Mahomes. Guy goes back-to-back Super Bowl wins.
With that offense, that supporting cast around him.
And he lands at number 4.
Lands at number 4, so which I imagine is down from where he was last year.
I would guess.
Find that,
so we're left with Lamar Jackson, Christian McCaffrey.
And Tyreek Hill. That's the top 3.
Okay.
Let's see if you could get the order right. So top 3 in no particular order, Lamar, Tyreek, and Christian McCaffrey.
I think that's the order. Lamar, Tyreek, McCaffrey.
From 1 through 3?
1 through 3.
So you think Lamar's first?
I think so. I mean, Lamar was the MVP last year, and he's won 2 MVPs. Tyreek is such an explosive, electric player. but he's a receiver. I think the default is to give the quarterback the nod. And, you know, McCaffrey was further down in the MVP than Lamar. Maybe McCaffrey would be two. I don't think he's one. I'm going to stick with my order.
So you think McCaffrey three.
Christian McCaffrey.
And then you think Tyreek two and
correct.
Think Lamar
that's what I'm going
one.
With, yeah.
You're right on McCaffrey. He's
my
number
man.
Three.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey, number three. And then drum roll. Number two. Lamar Jackson.
Really?
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill.
Number one.
In the NFL top 100.
As voted on by his peers, former or current NFL players.
Man, okay.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised that a quarterback didn't carry the day because
Tyreek
quarterbacks
Hill.
Always seem to do that.
You're right. And there's a little bit of quarterback disrespect here. Mahomes four, Lamar
yeah.
two.
I'm more surprised that Mahomes is four than I am that Lamar is two. I thought Mahomes would be one.
No doubt.
I could see. And, you know, we talked about these 10 yesterday because we kind of knew that these were the 10 that were still to come. And I figured Max Crosby, Kelsey would be toward the bottom. Trent at seven. It makes sense. And, you know, Kelsey not in the top five, but McCaffrey being three, that feels a little bit higher than I think that I thought that he would have placed.
He did just have an incredible season.
He did.
Yeah.
He did, but so did Tyreek Hill. I mean, Tyreek was on pace to break the yardage record, and Lamar Jackson won a second MVP, and Patrick Mahomes won a second straight Super Bowl, and Travis Kelce has a really cool girlfriend. Maybe that was part of the backlash on Travis.
Maybe. I think it is. It is. Maybe if I was looking back on it now, obviously I am, and hindsight's 20/20, if I were to try to, you know, redo my predictions, you'd... I think it's hard as an offensive lineman to get like that publicity because you're not quite as, you know, sexy as Tyreek Hill and the wide receiver and Christian McCaffrey
right.
doing all that and Lamar Jackson running all over the place as a quarterback and leading the Ravens to the number one overall seed. Like, it's so much easier to get that publicity and probably love from your peers in the NFL if you do play that kind of position as opposed to Trent Williams. He's by far the highest ranked offensive lineman. That's something nice in and of itself. But yeah, Trent, the seventh best player in the NFL. I don't know. I think he's probably a little bit better than that.
Yeah, I think so too, but you're right about offensive linemen, and I know Penei Sewell was, I think, 12th or 13th, and so you're not going to often find a lot of offense and defensive linemen getting that level of love. It's a quarterback-driven league, as we always say, and I just am a little surprised that Mahomes goes down to four after winning back-to-back Super Bowls, especially the way he won this last one, leading his team down the field for the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, so last year, Lamar was 72nd on this ranking last year.
Wow.
And now he's second. That's what happens when you win an MVP award. It also seems like Lamar is like consistently just a league favorite among players. Everyone loves Lamar. So he jumps up from 72 to 7. Mahomes fell from
72 to, so 70, to 2.
Yeah, sorry, to 2. Patrick Mahomes fell from 1 to 4. He was four,
okay.
number 1 on this last year, and now he's number
and
4.
And where was Tyreek last year? Do you have that?
Yeah, Tyreek Hill last year was number 7.
Okay.
And now he's number 1.
And McCaffrey was probably in the 13-14 spot.
McCaffrey was 35th.
Oh, geez, okay.
Last year.
So coming off a near MVP year, he soars to the top.
Trent Williams was 14th last year, 7 now. Let's see if we can find a big jump here. Max Crosby was 17 last year, 10 this year. Yeah, the biggest jump is McCaffrey into the top three from 35 to 3.
Yeah, and just interesting.
Other than Lamar. Lamar jumped a lot.
And pretty telling that you got three Chiefs in the top 10, two Niners in the top 10, and nine Niners in the top 100. So, and
yes.
Chris Jones, I know, was up there in the top 20, I believe. Or no,
Chris Jones is 6.
Yeah, so one of the three Chiefs in the top 10.
Yeah, and he was 10th last year. So top 10 consecutive years. They have three players who have been top 10 in consecutive years because Travis Kelce last year was 5th, and he was 9th now. So that's why they've won consecutive Super Bowls. You have three of the 10 best players in the NFL. It's pretty hard to beat that, although the Niners have two. So.
Right, and three at the, you know, among the biggest positions. You've got the quarterback, and you've got the rusher, the pass rusher, and then you've got a tight end who's basically your wide receiver. And for the Niners, you've got a two-way back, and you've got a left tackle who are your two in the top 10. And you also have your receiver, both your receivers and your tight end on the list, and a couple of your linebackers. So
And a quarterback.
Exactly.
But your quarterback isn't quite in the top 10. And that might, yep. I mean, that's kind of, it's been the difference in a couple of these Super Bowls. Your quarterback just hasn't quite as been as good as the other. And it's no knock on either of the Niners' former quarterbacks. You're going up against the guy who might ultimately retire, the greatest quarterback of all time.
And the fact that your quarterback made the list, though, I think is a sign of how the league feels about him. Even though fans and some pundits, when they have to pay him $60 million, you'll see he's not that good and the team around him is not that good. I do think that this poll among fellow players gives you an indication of just how well-respected he is around the National Football League.
Yeah.
He's got the respect of his peers.
He does. No doubt. And I think that was kind of the... not concerned, but it was, there's a lot of people out there, and you guys have talked about it all the time on this show. Mark Willard coined the phrase, the word draftism. There are so many people who are only think he's been successful, he being Brock Purdy, because of all the talent around him and because he was drafted so low. If he was drafted like CJ Stroud was in the top, well, he was picked second, right? Or third.
Yep.
Did they pick Will Anderson second and then CJ? He was whatever. He was top three whenever he went. He went second. Okay. If he was drafted in the top 10, it doesn't really matter exactly where in the first round, and he was around all this talent, there wouldn't be this thought that he's only good because of the talent.
Yeah. It would be less of a narrative for
and
sure.
And the fact that, you know, this poll by his peers maybe seems to have confirmed that the players of the NFL maybe don't feel that way.
And we can use this conversation and this comp throughout the year because C.J. Stroud now has a lot of talent around him, yet you're never going to hear once, if the Houston Texans have a good year, you're never going to hear, well, I mean, C.J.'s only good because of Tank Dell and all the rest of the talent they have around them now.
Yeah indeed.
Just won't be a narrative.
All right. Hey, Lucas, what's coming up on Best of the Game? What do you got?
Crossover eventually, but before that, you're going to hear from Wasserman's super agent, Doug Hendrickson, who hosts a podcast, Politic. And you ever heard of it? Gavin Newsom, maybe you've heard of him. Governor of California, of course, the great Gavin Newsom. He, Marshawn Lynch, and Doug Hendrickson, all three of them on a podcast together. And the Morning Roast had Doug Hendrickson on. How about that?
Cool. Okay, so that's coming up on the other side. It's Best of the Game, hosted by Lucas Alexander, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Dibs, it's been a great week.
Good job, Randy.
On Monday.
And
thank you.
It's been great working
with you. Willard will be back on Monday. I'll be back behind the glass. I'll see you then. Hope you have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, Mark Grandy. Very well done in the big chair.
Thank you.
Look at you in the big chair.
It was fun. All right, for Dibs, for Lucas, for Carl. My name is Mark Granny, signing off. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great weekend.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.